Since 1937, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance has been sharing the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm delighted you chose to join us today, and I pray that this program will truly be a blessing to you as you listen to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance.
So
Good morning. Thanks so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. The day before I made this recording, I was talking to a neighbor. He asked me a very interesting question. He asked, "What was the cross for?" And I tried to explain to him as best I could, based on Scripture, that before the foundation of the world, it was determined that Jesus Christ would come and die for us, and he would die on a cross and shed his blood that our sins might be forgiven. This love is mine, as reminded to us today by the Booth brothers, and I hope you know and have experienced the love of God in your life. I'm taking a few days off here the first part of the month of July. This first weekend, we will be at home singing at Flintwood Wesleyan Church on this Sunday morning, July the 5th. And then the rest of the week, I'm going to have that week off. But I will be traveling to North Carolina to celebrate the life of my sister-in-law, Miss Kay Lohman. My eldest brother's wife passed away just a few days ago. So I'll travel there and be a part of that service. And then beginning July the 12th through the 19th, I'll be at Frankfort, Indiana at the Frankfort Camp Meeting. Then travel from there to Waynesboro, Mississippi, to Frost Bridge Holiness Camp Meeting. That's July 20 to 26. So I do covet your prayers as I am involved in these camp meetings. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for our listening audience today. We're grateful for the love that is ours for the asking. You gave yourself to us through your Son, Jesus Christ, so that we might have life and have it more abundantly, and I am so thankful. I pray for our listening audience, those that are sick and shut in. I pray that they would feel a special sense of your presence right now. Continue to supply the need for the radio program and Lohman Ministries. The summer months can be sometimes unpredictable financially, and I pray that you would lay it upon the hearts of those who are able to share in the expense of this radio program. We thank you for doing that, and we thank those who already share in helping finance this radio ministry. Many have done so for so many, many years, and we're grateful. Again, we thank you for your love in our lives. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can write to me and enclose a gift. The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or go to our website, lohmanministries.org. Listen to the program there. Or give through Venmo or PayPal. Thank you so much.
See him in a manger laid, sent to earth, sin's price to pay. He's my Savior, he's my Savior. See him stand in Pilate's hall, see him take the blame for all. He's my Savior, he's my Savior. My Savior, because he left his throne for me. He's my Savior, because he died in agony. He's my Savior, because he rose in victory. Savior, he's my Savior. See him hang in open shame on a cross that bears my name. He's my Savior, he's my Savior. My Savior,
Gospel of John, chapter 21. I would invite you to step back in time with me this morning. Turn on the theater of your mind. Step back over 2,000 years to the Sea of Galilee. It's early morning. The sun is just now beginning to make itself known over the nearby horizon. And if you exercise your imagination, you can see it with your mind's eye. And as you look out across the Sea of Galilee, if you squint your eyes just a little bit, you'll see fishermen plying their trade. All night long, they have been throwing the net over the side of the boat, first on this side and then on the other. And every time they pull the net back on board the fishing vessel, the net is empty. Now, pan back from that fishing vessel to the shoreline of the Sea of Galilee, and perhaps another 25 yards inland, a fire of coals. And sitting by the fire of coals, Jesus. In just a little while, he is going to enter into a conversation with one of the fishermen on that fishing boat. It will go something like this. Verse 15, John 21. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Their lives had come full circle. Following the suggestion of Peter, these seven disciples have decided to return to that from whence they had come before they ever met Jesus. And in John's record, this is the last intimate moment that Jesus will have with these disciples. And interestingly enough, this encounter is where it all began, as far as their relationship with Jesus is concerned. You see, Jesus had called these fishermen to follow him while they were fishing. And now we see him once again interacting and impacting the lives of these disciples. And it's very obvious as you read along with me this passage found in John 21 that the focus of this encounter is on Peter. This meeting happens after the resurrection, before the day of Pentecost. And I don't know about you, but when I read this story, I cannot help but wonder what's going on in the mind of Peter. What is he thinking about as he throws that net along with those other disciples over the side of the boat over and over again? Was he remembering that day that Jesus appeared along the seashore and called him to become a fisher of men? As a handpicked disciple of Jesus, was he still reeling from his own failure? Did he have the feeling that all was lost
And those 3 intervening years since he had met Jesus along that same seashore, up to that moment in time, meant nothing to Peter. I might be reading between the lines just a little bit this morning, but I wonder if Peter might have been thinking, well, Jesus might have risen from the dead. Others might be following him. But for me, it's all over. I had my chance. It was wonderful, but I failed. Not just once, but 3 times I denied him. I'm not fit to be one of his disciples. It's best for me to go back doing what I was doing before I ever met him. And 6 other disciples decide to follow Peter. And as Peter is recounting his failure, perhaps, and a myriad of other memories of the past 3 years, those 7 disciples, as they're fishing, throwing the net over the side of the boat over and over again, and having no results, a voice is heard from the nearby shoreline, a simple question asked by someone they really cannot make out in that early morning darkness. Have you caught anything? I wonder what went through their minds when they heard that query. They might have thought, we're fishermen here. We catch fish for a living. But fact of the matter, they hadn't caught a thing. So they just very simply responded, no. And then that voice from the shoreline asked a second question, or makes a second statement. Why don't you throw the net to the other side of the boat? I'm sure they must have thought, we've done that already. As a matter of fact, we've done it many times, and we've caught nothing. But perhaps they thought, well, we might as well try it one more time. And so they throw the net over that side of the boat. And this time, as they begin to pull the net back in, there is a tug on the net, and they realize that it is indeed full of fish. And they pull in, by count, 153 fish. And then I see John reach up and touch the shoulder of Peter. And he says, Peter, it's the master. In my imagination, I see Peter grab his outer garment and wrap it around himself, and he jumps overboard, and he wades to the shoreline. The other disciples pulling the boat and the net full of fish behind them toward the shoreline after Peter. And when they arrive there, they find Jesus in that early morning is preparing a breakfast of fish and bread. Oh, they had seen Jesus before after his resurrection. They were there that night in that downtown motel room when Jesus appeared out of nowhere, made himself known to them. But this time, it's going to get personal. It's going to get personal. And Peter approaches that fire of coals. They've eaten that breakfast that Jesus has prepared for them. And as Peter sits there by that fire of coals, Jesus looks across the fire and begins to ask him questions. The other 6 disciples, sitting perhaps a distance away, listening into the conversation. Let's us listen in as well. And Jesus begins the conversation with Peter by asking a very piercing question. He says, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? 3 times Jesus asked the question, and I cannot prove it scripturally, but I believe that there was a different inflection in the voice of Jesus every time he asked the question. I think that first time he looked at Simon, son of John, and he said, do you love me more than these? Hey, Simon, son of John, I want to know, do you love me more than the fish you just caught? Do you love me more than this career that you had before you ever encountered me? Hey, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these relationships that you have with these 6 other disciples? Hey, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? You see, the question had to be asked. Because Simon, son of John, even though he knew Jesus had arose from the dead, after he had seen him firsthand, he went back to doing that which he was doing before he ever met him. He had to ask the question. And it's a very relevant question for every one of us here this morning, because we need to respond. Do we love him more than these? Do we love him more than the life that we have now? Do we love him more than that Social Security check that you look forward to getting every month? Do you love him more than the recreational vehicle that might have brought you here? Do you love him more than the relationships that you've developed here on this campground? Do you love him more than the recreational time that you spend between services? Do you love him more than these? He asked him a second time, Simon, son of John. And I believe the inflection was different. Do you love me? See, it wasn't about the other six disciples. It was about him. It was about Peter. And when you get down to this business of having relationship with Jesus Christ, it has to do with you, my friend. Do you love Jesus Christ? Have you made him the ultimate object of your affection? Do you love Jesus? Nobody can answer that question for you. But then he asked him a third time, Simon, son of John. And I believe the inflection was different again. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Do you love me? I need to know that, Simon, son of John. Do you love me? Have I become the ultimate object of your affection? The psalmist David penned it beautifully in Psalm chapter 2, verse 12, when he said it like this, kiss the Son. And in that particular verse of Scripture, the word Son is capital S-O-N, meaning the Son of God. Interesting, isn't it, that David would make such a statement as that? He said, kiss the Son, make Jesus Christ the ultimate object of your emotions and your affections. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Why did Jesus ask the question three times? Wasn't once enough? Someone has suggested that perhaps the question was asked three times so that Peter might have the opportunity to confess Jesus three times for the three times that he denied him. Did you notice in the scripture that Jesus didn't call him Peter? And if you know your scripture, you know that it was Jesus who gave Simon, son of John, the name Peter. But here he obviously leaves that name out when he addresses Simon, son of John. I cannot prove this scripturally, but I cannot help but wonder, was Jesus wanting Peter to remember what he was and who he was before he ever met Jesus? Simon, son of John, I don't want you to ever forget what your life was like before I came into your life. And friend, I don't want to ever forget that. I grew up in an incredible Christian environment. My dad, a wonderful evangelist. My mother, a prayer warrior. I was surrounded by the things of God and by an environment that was fraught with the Word of God. And I thank God for that. But I was just as lost can be. And I want to never forget where I was before I came into contact with the grace of God. He says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? It's a very pointed question. As a matter of fact, I believe this question, in its essence, is Christ's great simplification of Christianity. Because this is where it begins. If this has not been established, if you cannot answer this question definitively, then all else is lost. Because Jesus did not ask for penance. He did not ask Peter if he understood philosophy and doctrine. He didn't ask Peter if he had a grasp on all the nuances of religion, eschatology, free will, all of which have their place in our belief system. He just simply asked Simon, son of John, do you love me? The old Presbyterians used to say, Jesus does two things. Your mind he will fill with sacred truth, and your heart he will fill with sacred fire. If we're just busy filling our minds with a lot of data, if we're just busy filling our minds with a lot of verses that we've heard all of our lives and have no passion for Jesus, no fire of the Holy Spirit in our lives, then here is what will happen. We will develop a very cold and sterile Christianity that has no warmth, has no passion or witness, and that is unattractive to a world that's lost and going to a Christless eternity. Our heart, our head may be full, but our heart is empty. G.K. Chesterton, a noted intellectual, said, "Let your religion be less of a theory and more of a love affair." Dr. Earl Wilson, former general superintendent of the Wesleyan denomination, he says, "Christ does not give us a problem to work out. He gives us a person to adore." Simon, son of John, do you love me?
Thanks so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. I pray that the program has truly been a blessing to you. If you're looking for a church home, I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches: in the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills; in the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria; in the state of Kentucky, the Churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association in Eastern Kentucky; in the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point; Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs; Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity; and in the state of Indiana, Bethel Wesleyan Church in Columbus; Columbus Free Methodist Church in Columbus, Indiana; the Church of the Nazarene in Orleans, Indiana; and Flintwood Wesleyan Church, again in Columbus, Indiana. I hope you'll take just a few minutes to write us that letter of support. We do need to hear from you, or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and click on the Venmo or the PayPal tab there. Our mailing address is the Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Until this same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.